1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. A federal judge today ordered Donald Trump to respond by Monday to a motion by special counsel Jack Smith. Smith was seeking to prevent Trump from posting or disseminating evidence from his election conspiracy case. And CBS News has now learned the Trump team has asked the judge to give them until Thursday to respond to the request for a so-called protective order. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
The real order here is to get Donald Trump not to stop talking at his public event, but perhaps to keep him from releasing to the public through social media and otherwise things that should remain private, at least until the court allows their dissemination.
Smith filed his motion last night, hours after Trump posted a message on social media seen by some as threatening to prosecutors. A judge in Texas has ruled that the state's abortion ban is too restrictive for women with pregnancy complications. Reporter Paige Hubbard at KEYE-TV in Austin.
Doctors with patients who have complicated pregnancies can now perform abortions under certain circumstances without the risk of being jailed, fined, or losing their license. On Friday, Travis County Judge Jessica Mangrum issued a ruling that physicians cannot face repercussions for using good faith judgment when deciding it's appropriate to conduct the procedure.
The state is expected to quickly appeal. It argues the law already allows for exceptions. America's midsection is under the threat of severe weather, says National Weather Service meteorologist Bob Orovec.
Across parts of Missouri, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, and even this morning, we had a separate area a little farther to the north where we had some 5 to 7 inch rainfall amounts along the Iowa, Missouri, Illinois border areas.
The Mega Millions jackpot just keeps growing.
Did you win the Mega Millions? No, you did not, because no one won.
His winning numbers are 45, 30, 52, 56, 11, and the Mega Ball is 20.
Since no one had those numbers, the jackpot has increased to $1.5 billion. Someone is going to be very, very rich. But you know what they say, you can't win if you don't play. The next drawing is Tuesday night. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
A mother of four from Georgia, reported missing last month, has been found dead. Rockdale County Sheriff Eric Levitt said they found the body of 29-year-old Imani Robertson yesterday. He says the woman's husband, Donnell Anderson, has been arrested.
When that body was found, it was our mission, especially mine, to make sure that we could convince our judges and or DA's office that we had enough evidence to secure a warrant and to get him off the street.
A man in Montana has shot and killed a black bear he found in his living room. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
If this were a Reese's TV ad, you'd be staring at a Reese's peanut butter cup. And sure, my voice is peanut buttery smooth, but still, you need to see the peanut butter cups, right? No? I can really just say Reese's and you'll go get some? Okay. Reese's. 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 Really working, actually. Reese's. Reese's. This, I'm on to something. Reese's. Reese's. Reese's.
Kentucky Fried Chicken's new Ultimate Barbecue Fried Chicken Sandwich. An extra crispy filet loaded with hickory smoked bacon, cheese, crispy onions, and sweet honey barbecue sauce. It tastes just like summer, but like the good part of summer. Not leaving the tent door open and waking up to a swarm of mosquitoes, two chipmunks, and one very, very large woodchuck. Anyway, try KFC's new Ultimate Barbecue Fried Chicken Sandwich. It's a barbecue in every bite. That's finger-licking good. For a limited time at participating locations, while supplies last, prices may vary.
This week's flavor forecast is brought to you by Swiftwater Ice Cream, 300 Market Street in Nakusa. This week's flavor of the week is pistachio. Find Swiftwater Ice Cream on Facebook. Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 59 tonight under partly cloudy skies. East winds 5 to 10 miles.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you only get.
What is up, Wisconsin? Welcome to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman at 540 AM WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw. Oh, I'm so jacked up right now, Danielle.
What? Like, I'm from Mountain Dew? All jacked up on Mountain Dew?
Well, I did have Mountain Dew and potato Olays. Right back to childhood. The potato Olay is the quintessentially best fried potato of any kind you will ever eat, seconded only by the potato cake from Arby's, which few people even know about.
No.
It doesn't even exist in most people's brains. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable.
The only thing that exists in people's brains about Arby's is their Frosties. That's all that matters.
Oh, come on. They put on the sliced roast beef?
No.
Oh, it's so good. It's not actually
cheese. The only thing I get from Arby's is the Frosty. That's it.
You're just going to ignore the curly fry?
Yes, I am going to ignore.
Chase Baker's talking already. This is so weird. It's the first session, and he's, Calvin, you turned his mic on already? My Lord. Hey, again, welcome to the show, Chase Baker. What's interesting about Chase is that he owns this company called Grit, which is videography for the outdoors, hunting, fishing, outdoor lifestyle in the state of Wisconsin. And he's not only is he an award-winning photojournalist, but his stuff is so great. I mean, it evokes emotion. It really captures the outdoors. And we were just talking before the show about the difference of, you know, shooting video or recording a hunt versus having a hunt recorded or filmed or whatever the word you want to use. We don't really use film anymore, so it's technically recording it. Chase, welcome to the show, but it's going to take just a minute because I got a lot on my mind, Danielle.
Do you?
I do. First of all,
I have to set up on live from my Facebook too.
Did you forget? Were you a little sloppy today?
I procrastinated a little bit.
Danielle and I took.
It was the potato ole.
Danielle and I took promo photos today.
Darn
out in the woods, and it looked
photo.
Like we're out in, you know, the swamp in the marsh in the fall, but it was 127 degrees Kelvin, not Kelvin out there. So I was sweating.
Is that only
like
because
butcher.
You were wearing a hooded sweater with a vest with your goose calls?
Yes, but
and
do you
shorts.
Understand that those
shorts.
Are all and in camouflage? They're all very trimming on me. So I want to put my best foot forward, and I don't want. And why do you think
why
I have this camera
the
on the Facebook
on?
Live? Just like chest and higher, because then it doesn't show my dad.
Because
belly.
That's the way it's positioned. Hey, dad bods are in.
Okay, save that. That's just an excuse for
not
me
grandpa
being
bod.
Fat. Okay.
I didn't call you a grandpa bod.
Danielle, right off the bat, she's lost it. Calvin, she's lost it in here, bro. You might have to save me.
It's been a while since I've
it's
had
been, hey, welcome back. Pleasure.
Yeah,
welcome
we've missed back, you, Calvin. We love Anastasia. Calvin. We do miss
yeah,
you,
Anastasia's
too,
though. Anastasia's great, but it's nice to see you again. Calvin's producing the show from the booth. We're in the Fishbowl, 217 Wisconsin Avenue. Stop on by and say hey if you'd like to. But I get so I'm on the way here. I'm talking to Robin Kennedy, the Kennedy clan.
Dude.
What?
Okay, you should have spotted this because you're a camera dude. I didn't even hit live. We're not even live. I'm just on here.
Okay, well, if Danielle's going to get her live feed up here, do we need to take a moment for you, Danielle? Some of us try to be prepared for
why
the show,
isn't it
Danielle.
Going live?
And
that's Andrew.
Robin brings up.
Oh, shush your face. Oh, we're fighting already.
Robin brings up the show Love Connection. Are you guys old enough to remember the show Love Connection with Chuck Woolery?
No.
So they've got all these shows on TV now for, they call it love, but really they're just wacky. And
Love is Blind.
They're kind of gross, actually, a lot of these
love
shows.
Island.
Like The Bachelor and Bachelorette, Love Island.
I do not watch any of those.
I get angry at them. I get angry at them, too, because I think to myself that if there's any way not to find a real mate, it's to go on one of those shows, I feel like.
This is very true.
Did you know that there's an ultimate fighting version of this? Like, Conor McGregor lives, like, they each have teams. I forget the other guy, but, you know, Chad Mendes, who works for the provider, we get to deal with. He's one of the best Ultimate Fighters in the world. Evidently, they live in a house together, and then they pit these people against each other in, like, bare-knuckle cage matches. And
it's not bare-knuckle.
What is it?
Oh, get him, Calvin. Get him.
Calvin chimes in. What is it?
It's MMA, so, I mean, they wear gloves, but it's, like, wrestling, boxing all combined.
Do you watch this show, Calvin?
I don't watch the show. I am a fan of the league, though. It's a, this show kind of serves as a...
Look at that. Whole it, new
like,
side.
The show serves to like find prospects for the UFC, and it gets a little wacky. Conor's a little bit of a clown, but...
Is it kind of a little bit like take out the romantic element of it? Is it kind of like these reality dating shows? Like they pit each other against each other? And...
Yeah, it's like Big Brother or Survivor or any of those kind of shows. They all live in a house, and they definitely edit it in a way to increase the drama and that kind of thing. But the fights are all real and stuff.
Holy cow. Anyway, I thought that was fascinating because Aiden Kennedy, our new hunter who we've had on the show and who we took out for the first time to hunt, who just bought his first gun, got his first gun for his birthday last week.
Wow.
I mean, this is what, Chase, oh, we got stuff to talk about with you. This is one of the quintessentially most exciting things for me is taking somebody who doesn't have that outdoor experience and pulling them into it. Mm-hmm. And you get to do that through videography, through video, through storytelling. Because a good videographer in the outdoors is a storyteller first and foremost, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about, especially when it comes to somebody's first hunt, first experience to that. You know, as the videographer, you're really not trying to play an active role in the hunt. You're trying to be kind of a passive observer to it, but you're trying to capture what it felt like in those first moments. You know, I've been on a couple of learn to hunts where, you know, somebody is getting ready to pull up the shotgun and you can see their fingers trembling on the safety and then they're getting ready to pull up and make that first shot. And then when they do finally connect and they get that first duck, you know, you're trying to get the camera up close on them, get the expression on their face. And when they first lay hands on a bird and they pull that wing out and see the speculum feathers all lit up in that early morning sun. I mean, it takes you back to your first hunts and some of, you know, your first harvests, and you get to kind of relive those first moments with somebody. It's pretty awesome.
And I can tell you're a storyteller because even the way you just described that tells me that when you're looking through a lens, look, these days, everybody's got a camera everywhere they go. I mean, when I grew up, you had to, stop. You guys stop at the photo mat. You guys over there, stop at the photo mat. We're going to get a disposable camera for the party.
What?
Yeah.
The photo mat?
What? A photo mat. They used to have these little kiosks in the middle of parking lots where you took your film to get developed. And it was a major, massive advancement that they started having disposable film cameras. And so you'd stop at the photo mat or the Walgreens, and you'd buy these disposable cameras to take with you to a night at a bonfire or a party. Yep. And you would take, this was long before the selfie. It was long before the selfie.
Well, I'm sure they had
selfies. It might
have
been the invention of the selfie with those holding up that disposable camera.
I think that probably is true to a large extent. And then you would take these pictures, but now everybody's got a camera with them.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got a video camera with them. And this phone, this 3x7, these evil 3x7s everyone's addicted to, they have got like 1080p HD cameras on them now
for
video.
And you can edit right on the phone.
And you can edit right on the
phone. Publish. Yeah.
And so screenshot and send it. Done.
Part of the problem is everybody now thinks they're a videographer. Everybody thinks they are this or that. And some of the stuff they whip together, and now there's programs like BeatLeap. You just put a bunch of video in it. It does it for you even.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you think photography with the camera is slowly dying out?
No. It's kind of interesting with photo and video, everybody having access to it. You know, really nobody has an excuse not to be a photographer, videographer, right? Everybody has access. You can't say, well, I don't have the tools to do it. It really, you know, it's kind of in the same way, like if you look at like NASCAR, all the cars are pretty similarly equipped. You know, nobody's car is really that much faster than the other. It all comes down to the driver, right?
Yep.
How fast they're going to make it around. And it really is becoming kind of leveled when it comes to photography, videography, that, you know, buying that $50,000 Red camera, that doesn't necessarily make you a filmmaker, right? And you can even find some stuff on YouTube where guys go head to head. They take an iPhone and pit it against $100,000 cinema cameras, and
they put it
in the hands of a beginner, and the storytelling falls flat. And it's like, just because the image quality is there doesn't mean the rest of it is compelling. And that's really, I think, Joel, where the difference lies is, can you create an image that tells a story, that makes you interested in what was going on? Can you put together an edit that tells something in a way that I haven't seen before? And that, to me, that's really where the artistry lies.
I know, I saw on Facebook how you went to school and everything for this. What started? Okay.
Yeah, but
first
before
question.
You say that,
uh-oh.
Chase hit, no, before he answers that question, because that's a good question, you hit it on the head. Taking video and editing it together does not make a good story. Storytelling makes a good story. And the basis for every single occupation, the basis for being good at any occupation, is being able to write. If you can write, and I don't mean like literally put it down, but if you can write and tell a story, that's the basis for what video is going to be successful.
Mm-hmm. So on Facebook, it says you went to school for this. You went to WCTC, or what was it?
Yeah, so I went to WCTC. I did their two-year program.
Okay.
And then I transferred over to the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design and did their four-year program.
Schmancy.
So my background is actually in graphic design, but there's a lot of the same tools. And I took a digital certificate when I was at WCTC, and then at MIAT, I put kind of an emphasis in photography and art direction.
Okay, forgive me. Graphic design and photography, to me, I don't know the difference.
Okay, no, that's fine. Digital photography is more about optics, lighting, lighting the shot, composing the shot. There's a little bit of overlap in that graphic designers typically use a good amount of Photoshop. A digital photographer is going to also use Photoshop to manipulate the image. But when you make the transition into graphic design, it's not as much about the story, and it's more about messaging on behalf of usually a business, maybe a cause.
That makes sense.
So, you know, if you're putting together motion graphics for a banner ad, or you're putting together graphics for a T-shirt or a poster, it's not so much about expressing your story. You're trying to get a message to an audience, and it's largely commercially based then.
That definitely
makes
sense.
And we're already at the first break. We got Chase Baker, excellent videographer, Danielle Fairman. I'm Joel Clayfish, and a country boy can survive in the state of Wisconsin with all the resources we have. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco on 540 AM WAUK.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! protect your engine with Syntec Full Synthetic Motor Oil at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Syntec is designed for today's engines to dissipate heat and reduce friction and wear. Get 5 quarts of Syntec Full Synthetic in a MicroGuard Select Oil Filter for just $33.99, plus 2 times O Rewards points. Limits apply. Choose Syntec exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get in zone, AutoZone.
AutoZone is more than a parts store. It's where we help you solve problems like,
sorry I'm late, my battery died.
And,
I need a jump, again.
At America's number one battery destination, you can find the right battery at the right price with options starting at only $89.99. And we offer free battery testing and charging whenever you need it. Get the parts and help you need to get the job done right at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need only from the Civic Media weather team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Is that, I think that's all the small things, right?
All the small things, truth care. Truth brings.
Who sings this song, Danielle?
I do. Shut your face. Right.
Welcome back, Wisconsin, Race and Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside me with Danielle Fairman and Chase Baker from Grit. Did you come up with Grit yourself?
Yep.
And yeah, because people don't. Well, I want to get into something that I think a lot of people don't understand. First off, tell me what's interesting to me. You're a hunter.
Yep.
Obviously. Yeah. How do you go, because I know many people who are actual storytellers, videographers, who like the editing process. They say that the actual shooting video, recording a hunt, is as satisfying as pulling the trigger. How did you go from pulling the trigger to pressing the record button?
Yeah, it was a pretty seamless transition for me. I got a job working in the outdoor industry, doing a lot of design stuff first, and then it was kind of faking hunt scenes to promote product in, you need a bow hanging on a hook in a tree stand type of scenario. So you're kind of putting together the hunts without actually going out on the hunt. So then to kind of take that next step into, okay, we're going to actually film a whitetail hunt or a waterfowl hunt. That was a pretty seamless transition. But what was kind of interesting is you're still going to put in all the legwork that everybody else puts in. You know, if you're out on a spot and stalk hunt, you're going to put in just as many miles as everybody else, but you're going to do it with 40 pounds of camera gear on your back and try to keep up.
I feel like you have to be more secluded because you have a lens, and you have a lens that could shine and scare the turkeys out of the tree, right out of the
roost.
Yeah,
you have to really
have that would be more tricky than actually going out there with a gun and shooting.
You almost have to have a sixth sense and be able to kind of predict what's going to happen. Where do you think the ducks are going to come in from? Where do you think the turkey might come into the field? Can I hide myself from that angle? But I still have to be very exposed toward the subject. If I'm trying to capture someone's face, I can only conceal so much of the camera and actually still be able to get them in focus, be able to see that my exposure is good. And, you know, if you're real hidden, you're not going to get the really nice shot. So you've got to kind of predict what's the angle of the sun, what's the angle of the wind, where are the animals hopefully going to come from, and what can I do to kind of conceal myself from that. And some of that will also come down to what type of hunt you're filming. Sometimes it's a more of a casual format where the hunt is the priority, and the priority isn't so much the film. And if it comes down to it, you're going to stay hidden if the hunters have to leave you. You know, I was on a turkey hunt pretty recently where they were doing a Reaper style, and I ran out of cover. There was no more bushes for me to hide behind with the camera. And so it's like, well.
Which is the very nature of a Reaper style.
Yeah, right. So it's either I stay here and maybe we get it on film. If they're out of range, they're out of range. Or I come with you and maybe I bust the hunt.
Yeah.
Right. And so you got to kind of weigh that out then. And it ultimately comes down to who you're hunting with, what's really their goal. It was more of a casual thing and it was going to be somebody's first turkey. So I'm like, you know what? Aww. I'll stay back in the brush. I'll try to get it. If I don't, oh well.
So did you get it?
They got the bird. I didn't get the shot. Yeah.
And I'll tell you that what you just explained is the ultimate dilemma of video for hunting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I shot Kill It, Clean It, Cook It. That was on the air for 13 years, and I essentially shot that almost all myself. So I was out there not only shooting the video camera, but also shooting the gun.
Man, that's a lot to think about.
And also trying to record as you go. And that question, you don't realize it, and it's a little probably less in waterfowl hunting where you might have more than one chance to get some decent video. But when you are out there and you've got your camera trained on something, but you're at the same time calling and watching the bird and you want to take that ethical shot, and you got to make sure that the camera's lined up on the spot that the animal is, you're guessing the animal's going to be when the shot is taken. I think a lot of people who watch video kind of underestimate the difficulty and the choices that have to be made on the spot when you're out there, because everybody knows the best camouflage is not moving.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is completely contraindicated to shooting the best video, because in shooting the best video, you are moving to
right.
the spot that gives you the vantage of the best camera shot.
Not only that, you're moving while you're shooting. You know, you're going to reach up and zoom the lens in on the quarry. You're going to pull out wide and you're going to pan over to somebody to get their face. You know, on a bow hunt, you might be able to be pretty steady on it. But yeah, if you're on the ground on a tripod or you're on a shoulder rig, you're moving the camera around to get the different shots. It's pretty rare that you have an opportunity to run a multi-camera setup on, you know, any kind of hunt where something has good vision, turkeys, waterfowl. I mean, to run multiple cameras, that's pretty tough. You're usually on one camera trying to shoot
I'm
to your left,
to
shoot to your right.
Man. Everything other than human beings has great vision. Honest to God, I've tried to shoot video of carp shooting, and I swear those suckers are looking through the water
oh, yeah.
at you.
Oh, they see a draw.
There's Joel.
Say cheese, don't swim away.
Why is he wearing safety green?
Oh, I swear I've had carp jump the string on me.
Yeah, no joke. I'm not even kidding about it. What's your favorite thing to shoot video? What's your favorite thing to hunt versus what's your favorite thing to shoot video of?
Oh, man. Well, my favorite thing to hunt, I mean, that's pretty easy. That's waterfowl for me. I mean, nothing
nice.
Gets my blood pumping like the wings whistling, you know, on those first rays of daylight. Yep, that is just the tops for me. As far as, you know, to film, it's probably a tie between upland and ducks. I mean, ducks is kind of... Yeah, so the nice thing with upland is it's rather predictable.
With a pointer it is. If it's a flusher,
well,
it's way tougher.
But you know the direction that the dogs are going to work for the most part, because the hunters are going to work the field from one end to another.
Yep.
Everybody's kind of moving that way. Whereas, you know, if you're trying to set up for a turkey hunt and, you know, you're going to try to work them from the roost, you're going out to the edge of the woods listening for a gobble, and then you're going to try to race to cover and figure out which angle you're going to point stuff. Upland is way more open. There's not as many lighting issues to deal with. Like you said, you might have stuff with pointers going on, and it's very repeatable. There's likely going to be multiple flushes throughout a hunt. So in terms
yeah,
of just
easy, predictable stuff that you can just
yeah,
position,
and
be ready.
You know, you have great color in the grasses. You have all kinds of texture and stuff there, so just it lends itself to good aesthetics.
Huh.
Well, we're going to carry ourselves home, like all the small things, and we're going to go to break already. When we come back, Chase Baker is going to talk to us about what the Wisconsin Waterfowl Hunters Expo holds coming out of this break. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Danielle Fairman. We'll be right back.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app. Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget, they're made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
Celebrate and support the Grand Rapids Fire Department during their celebration on Saturday, August 5th from 4 to 11 p.m. Head out to the Grand Rapids Lions Club at 2411 36th Street South for some great food and drink, along with awesome live music, including Chase Quinches from 4 to 7 and Star 6-9 from 7 to 11. Visit the world-famous Rudolph Grotto Shrine and Wonder Cave for the 102nd Annual St. Philip Church Picnic, full of food, refreshments, games, and raffles, Sunday, August 6th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Mass begins at 10 at the church, followed by activities on the grounds. The event is located at 6957 Grotto Avenue in Rudolph.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 59 tonight under partly cloudy skies, east winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, chance for scattered rain showers, highs level off around 83. Overcast skies again tomorrow night, chance for scattered storms, lows level off around 60. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 83.
our music on this show. Welcome back to Raising Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Daniel Fairman. Chase Baker from Grit, video masterman. I love the
fact... I'm a little mosh pitting myself.
That was Slayer bringing us into the break. And that, what that reminds me of, I have a friend of mine, Amy Stefik. She owns a company called Puck Hockey. She actually listens to the show from Michigan.
Not only are
we in 13 stations throughout the state of Wisconsin now, but we've got people across the borders listening to us. But she runs a company called Puck Hockey, PUCKHCKY.com. And they have like jerseys and hockey jerseys, sweatshirts, and all the stuff for all of these bands, including the band Slayer. We love to mix it up coming back. So check that out if you're into some of the heavy stuff like Motorhead and like I said, Slayer.
That's all I can think of. I'm not really into that hard stuff. Or I'm into this moment.
I'm a Michael Jackson fan, but I love metal too. It really gets me in like a pumping mood. If I'm on my way,
just want to fight somebody.
I love country music too. But if I'm on my way, you know, to the Duck Blind or somewhere in the morning, I'll play a little Anthrax to get me jacked up, get me fired up.
Yeah.
Those fast chords, the double bass, you know, so it's good stuff. But hey, anyway, thanks for listening. If you're listening today, Amy, who is also a fan, by the way, of the Panzerotta.
Ooh, who is not a fan of the Panzerotta?
I know. We were just talking about it during the break. If you've never had a Panzerotta from Jimmy's Grotto in Waukesha, my rule, one desert island, one food, rest of my life.
Do
if I
not
had to pick.
Say the Panzerotta.
It would be the Panzerotta.
What? Why?
I feel like the Panzerotta.
I feel like
so
you would
if
die
you don't
immediately.
Know what a Panzerotta. Well, if you're on a desert island by yourself, I mean, really, I think all bets are off.
It's
in
like
the first
I'm taking
place.
A tomahawk steak.
Every meal.
Oh, yeah.
Every meal, a tomahawk steak. See, I could do a Panzerotta every meal. I really could.
I could do one
a year. If you don't
year.
Know what a Panzerotta is, it's this glorious. Like, it's like, first of all, start with a pizza, basically. Whatever you like in a pizza is what's inside of it. And then wrap it in this most amazing doughy creation that gets deep fried and becomes like this flaky goodness of golden sweet crustiness. Oh, my gosh. I love food.
That kind of reminds me of what is the dish that's kind of like that, but up in the UP.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. They have them in England a lot. No, they're not called poo-poos, Danielle.
Pasties. Pasties, there we go.
Yes, pasties. Those are like a British creation, but they're nothing like a pasty.
I'd much rather have a pasty than a panza. Do not look at me with those eyes.
Calvin, can you shut her mic off for the rest of the show? She just said she prefers pasties to panzerottas.
Yes, because all I think about with panzerottas is grease just seeping out of my pores.
They're not that greasy.
They're so greasy.
Well, it's part of the joy of it.
It is part of the joy.
Here's the thing. When I was in college, I worked at a place called Wild Pizza at Pepperdine University. It was one of my jobs, right? And so I'm in there, and I'm thinking, how can I recreate the panzerotta? So I took pizzas and I would fold them in half and curl the edges and then deep fry them.
Makes sense.
Now, they were pretty good. A 6 out of 10. A Panzerotta is a 10 out of 10. It really is. So we started selling these things. Like you could order a pizza or you could order, like I think we called them like Wild Pockets or something like that. I don't know, something stupid.
Hot Pockets.
But it wasn't Hot Pockets, Danielle. That's, you're showing your generational age right there.
Calzone.
It's like a deep fried calzone, but it's totally different. It's just got flaky crust. It's way better.
It's like, guess I'm talking about food. We're talking about grit.
What? The show is about food very often. Very often the show is about food. And that's, I actually want to
Sorry,
talk to you.
This is our, this is what happens. You can chime in with your panza. Do you prefer
Chase is sliding right in. He's good.
Or a pasty?
Panzerottas. I mean, I was born and raised in Waukesha County. You have to go with the Panzerotta.
Danielle, you are co-host of a show on WAUK.
Yeah.
There is nothing more quintessentially Waukesha than a Panzerotta.
This is true. Or Taco John's.
But Joel, I will say, awesome if too. That's your desert island food,
what is your desert island?
That's your calorie count for like the week on a Panzerotta. Like you can live forever on that one Panzerotta.
I'm going to tell you why I disagree.
Ooh.
Which, by the way, everyone on Gilligan's Island should have been fat because they were eating coconut cream pie with every meal. Okay, I just want to point that out. But here's why I disagree with you. When you eat a panzerotta, everyone who eats one is visiting the bathroom within about 20 to 30 minutes. So I think those are free calories.
Rat City.
Right, Calvin? Even Calvin's laughing too.
That is a solid argument.
He's like, so I think those are free calories because when you eat them within 20 minutes, those calories mysteriously leave your body.
Now I'm thirsty.
What does that have to do
with it? I don't know. I feel like that's all going out of me. I need replenish, and now I need water.
Now you want a panzerotta. No, you probably don't. You want a pasty. Well, good luck. Drive to Iron County then. It's about this close. Although there's a pasty shop in Madison that's pretty good. Miles Teddy Wedgers, it's called.
Teddy Wedgers?
Yeah, that's what they call the pasties there. Okay. Nobody can disagree that we have fun. We have so much fun on the show. Chase Baker, I don't think people have any idea how much actual work goes into someone's life if they say everybody wants to be, oh, I work in the outdoors, or I get paid to, I'm an outdoors professional. I get paid to do work in the outdoors. I'm 52 years old. I've worked my entire life to build a few things in which I get paid some money to do some things in the outdoors. And I love it. It's exciting. It's a part of the repertoire that helps me pay bills and try to send my kids to college, right? But I don't think the average person appreciates the amount of work that goes in if you're trying to make a career in the outdoor industry.
Oh, absolutely. It's very romanticized, you know, from the outside to have this idea that you're kind of this outdoor, free spirit, free wielding, get to kind of, you know, take the day as you wish and kind of do whatever with it. Man, it's really not that when that becomes kind of your 9 to 5. It's a bit of a grind.
It's not 9 to 5, first of all.
No, not at all. It replaces your 9 to 5 so that you can work 7 days a week all the time, right?
Right.
You give up that 9 to 5 so that you don't have any free time at all, really.
Sounds thrilling.
I mean, it really is because that's my passion. Yep. This is what I would be doing in my free time anyway, so... To kind of make that the job is a natural extension for me. But yeah, there's a lot of prep work that goes into it that I think a lot of people don't anticipate or realize.
Like don't eat a panza the night before?
Yeah, don't eat a panza. I mean, if you're talking like really close to the hunt, yeah, you have to worry about your nutrition. You might have to eat some apples and some salad and, you know, work down a couple of Gatorades throughout the evening so that your body is ready for that 15 hours of grind with 40 or 50 pounds of kit on your back. And, you know, there's no, oh, hey, guys, let's pause here. I'm going to eat quick. Like, if that's not, you know, if your subject is not on that schedule, you just have to keep right on rolling. And you might be waist deep in the mud in the marsh. You might be 20 feet up a tree. You have to roll with it. But, you know, what I think is really overlooked on the prep side is the amount of gear preparation that goes into everything. For me to make it through one 8 to 12 hour day, I'm going to be charging somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 dozen batteries. You need batteries for your monitor. You need batteries for gimbals, batteries for drones. Most of them don't take the same battery either. So
of course, or
you're running all these different chargers.
Cord.
You're trying to make sure you have enough memory cards, you know, to account for everything. So you're cleaning all the dust off your camera sensors, off all the inside and outside of all of your lenses. You're trying to account for, okay, what could happen? Do I need a rain sleeve for my pack because we might get rained on? You got to plan for every eventuality and then try to get it into something that you can manage on your back to run around with. And I mean, you're going to spend at least 2 days prepping before a shoot. And that's to say nothing of, you know, scripting, planning, you know, what the story is going to be, how you're going to tell that story. I mean, that's a whole nother beast. But just getting your stuff ready to go out takes a couple of days if you're going to go out on a serious
no
film.
No doubt about it. Does it frustrate you now that everybody's got a camera on their phone and they're all shooting video and everybody thinks they're the next Stanley Kubrick in the hunting blind?
On their Android phones?
It doesn't bother me that everybody has access to that because when I see that footage, I see the difference in quality. You know, I recognize what a mirrorless camera or a cinema camera can do compared to a cell phone. It does irritate me a little bit in the sense that it's kind of been devalued, that people feel as though what they've produced on their phone is every bit as good as what you spent months, you know, developing a system for. But I mean, that's kind of the nature of it. I mean, that's the way a lot of industries have kind of evolved over time. So you just have to kind of roll with it.
Yes. I think, you know, I've spent 32 years in television in one form, fashion or another, 32 years in radio and television since I was 21 years old. Well, actually, since I was, if you want to count my internship, since I was 19 years old. And you learn every day. So you walk a fine line, because in the television industry, in the industry of media and the outdoors, you really have to be careful not to ever let the part of your ego or your confidence supersede the fact that you are going to learn every day. You never know everything that's going to come at you on a certain day.
Right.
You always have the capacity to have not flipped the switch for the audio recording on one channel.
Yep.
That still happens to all of us in our very best days. That may happen. Or you'll double punch from time to time and not realize it in the excitement of the moment, record and then turn the recording off. Oh, and all of a sudden you just missed the greatest shot of the day. This is all real time stuff that's happening every day. And for me, everybody having access to video and to the ability to edit on their phones, to me, gives me incentive to continue improving myself. Mm-hmm. Because if I want to be a good storyteller, storytelling is literally a combination. You can tell a story with no words.
You can.
And just pictures. You can tell a story with just pictures and audio. You can tell a story with pictures, audio, man on camera, interviews in it, and voiceover. But at the end of the day, you want to tell the most complete story that you set out to tell. And very often that story changes throughout the day and throughout the hunt. You can have something preconceived, which absolutely changes. Do you find that happens a lot?
Oh, yeah. I actually had a project just last fall. A buddy of mine shot a buck with his bow, and he's like, hey, you know, I got an opportunity for you to come get some video and some photos. Really, I think he just wanted some free headshots with his nice deer.
That's all right.
But he's like, you know, it's for you, right? Like, you get some benefit out of this. It should be down about 40 yards away. He's like, I saw him crash, so we'll be good. I'm like, okay, see you in an hour. Get all my gear together, which luckily was prepped from the night before, and headed out into the woods. Well, it wasn't down.
Oh.
So what turned into, or what started out as, take some shots of me recovering my deer, dragging it out, turned into the deer is still alive. We're going to put more arrows into it because it just swam across the river and is now on an island.
Oh, man.
And the archer is running out of arrows. And I mean, I was lucky to even be rolling.
Holy
I was
cow.
Just, okay,
did
we're
you
blood.
Get the final shot then?
Wow.
I have the final shot of the archer taking it.
Sure.
I don't have the final shot of the deer. He was about 100 yards away in, you know, shoulders deep cattails, so I didn't have a visual on the deer. But
I think, and I don't mean to interrupt your story because I want you to finish it, but I think part of the exciting thing about that is you have to, as an outdoor photographer, you are very often changing what you're able to capture and then still trying to tell the best story. And sometimes that look of intensity on the archer's face, or the guy who's about to pull the trigger, or the finger on the trigger, and the look in his eye and the shiver in his finger tells the story better than the...
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rock Onsen.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home, just waiting for the... And there they go, almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear.
Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Chris Inda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
From Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, here at Witter Field on this Saturday afternoon. Joey Fear with you here on WFHR 97.5 FM 1320 AM. Well, the Raptors will take on the Woodchucks in a doubleheader. First game is picking off in the bottom of the second. So that is where we stand. It was a game last Friday that was canceled due to rain, thunderstorms that came in the area. So the Raptors had to end this game with Wausau, pick back up here in this doubleheader here on this day, so it's exciting. Raptors, right now, they are playing at the top of their game. 6 wins in a row. They have certainly slid up into first place. They're 16-11 right now, and they're a team that's 36-26 overall. They have the best overall record in the Great Lakes West. They sit in first. They're a half game ahead of the Mallards, and a team that is playing at the top of what there has been their game all season long. It's the second to longest win streak that they've had. And they're 3-1 here at Witter Field versus Wausau, and outscored the Woodchucks. And by a certain amount, the last full game they played here was back on June the 11th. They've been batting at .243 against the Woodchucks, 284 at-bats. They've been struck out 77 times. And, well, their pitching side has been superb, to say the least, against Wausau. They've struck out 75 batters, a 2.73 ERA in 79 innings pitched. So for them, you look at it, they are a team that is just playing well. They're getting on both sides of the ball. They're getting it done. Against Fond du Lac yesterday, it was a back-and-forth game. And in the top of the ninth inning, it was the Raptors who just found a way to steal that game. They won 2-0, and what a game that was. Just, you know, Raptors, they found a way, and they certainly did so. A RBI from Bornick, an RBI from Kyle Carlson, brought in Bobo Lordoy, and that was about it. So, you know, we look at this team, and we can say, hey, they are right now just, they're playing very well. They've getting it done on both sides of the ball. And certainly they're going to have to do that once again today. They're starting in the first game with Will Haberstock on the mound, Levi Jensen at catcher. And then at first base, you have James Bornick, who was initially going to be out this game, but since Garrett Broussard left, he subbed in. So he's at first. Ty Johnson at second. Kyle Carlson at third. Aiden Brewer is shortstop. And as for the outfield, Alec Castillo at left, Orlando Lordoy in center, and Brendan Bobo at right field. As for Wausau,
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a single father of two who works three
part-time jobs and still can't put enough food on the table?
Or maybe a mother who cleans offices at night,
hoping to find meeting leftovers to take home to her hungry family.
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet.
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Wisconsin Rapids Raptors Baseball on WFHR.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? All right. Well, back here inside Witter Field as Rafters getting set to go against the Woodchucks right now. And for them, it's an opportunity to just continue playing well, and they're in their last 10 games. Wausau has been batting at 224, 46 runs, 98 hits, and for them, 42 RBIs. They've walked 50 batters, though, and they've only had 77 strikeouts, so their pitching has really gone down since, you know, they lost a lot of their all-stars, and it hasn't been the way they would have liked, to say the least. 10 and 18 right now, so I mean, we can look at this team. Rafters are playing at the top of their game. Wausau certainly is not doing that. They have a lot of different guys stepping in and trying to make sure that this ship doesn't certainly sink. And, I mean, it is right now because they're currently 6.5 games out of the playoff race, and it is not a chance for them. They're just trying to find any sort of momentum here as we wrap up here. As only a week left in the regular season, Rafters, for them, just continue to play well and continue to play at the top of their game. They're much deeper, it seems like, than every other team. It seems like when teams are losing their guys, The Raptors, they've gotten guys, and they just haven't lost their mojo about them. They've just continued to play well, and certainly in this point of the season when you lose a lot of your big-time players, Degadi left, Broussard left, but for them, they've really had guys that really picked it up, and James Bornick, one of those guys, he's had four hits there this season on 17 at-bats. He's been playing well, so Bornick, one of those guys that has really kind of recreated this team to continue to play at the top of their game. Kyle Karlsson coming back after he was with his first stint in the Raptors back in early June. He's come back. He's been playing well. He's been batting at 242, 11 RBIs for him. But Will Haberstock getting the start on the mound for Wisconsin Rapids. He's had three games appeared in with a seven innings of work. He's allowed six hits.